So I was born in Korea, and the name that my parents gave me at birth is Kim Junhyun, which in English is phonetically spelled like what you see below. And throughout my life, I've seen every iteration of people trying to pronounce my name. Jun, Huhyun. Some people, when they see a name they don't recognize, they start adding random letters. And I've heard people call me like Zungwei. My people out there with non-traditional American names know the embarrassment of the first day of class, when the teacher takes attendance and tries to pronounce your name while the whole class stares at you and laughs. For the record, it's pronounced Kim Junhyun, which I get can be hard to pronounce for some people. But that's exactly why my parents gave my brother and I American names once we immigrated to the Boston area. And the name they decided to give me was Jonathan, and the name they decided to give my brother was David. And the reason they did that was for a specific reason. We just heard from our retelling today that David and Jonathan are known to be best friends in scripture. They are the original dynamic duo, BFFs, best friends for life. They are the original SpongeBob and Patrick, Sam and Frodo, Chandler and Joy, and according to my wife, Khloe Kardashian and Malika. I don't know, but she swears they're best friends. But I've always kind of resented being Jonathan and my brother being named David. Because in their friendship, David is this powerful and courageous king over all of Israel, and Jonathan is the person that helps David become the king. And maybe I wouldn't have minded so much if my brother didn't make a big deal of it. But to say that my brother took his identity as King David to heart would be an understatement. My brother, literally in his yearbook in elementary school, had this yearbook quote: "By Winthrop School, you are going to miss King David." First of all, who even has elementary school yearbook quotes? I didn't even know it was a thing. But clearly, he was King David, and I was lowly Jonathan. And there's seemingly nothing really remarkable about Jonathan. But maybe there is. For the past few weeks, we've been going through a teaching series called Relatability, where we are exploring different relationships in Scripture and trying to learn something through them. Today, we're going to explore the relationship between David and Jonathan. And we're going to see that lowly Jonathan exhibits something in his relationship with David that I feel like is very rare in our society today. Because Jonathan is fiercely loyal to David as his friend. It's rare, but if you've ever had a truly loyal friend in your life, you know that it is completely life-changing. The impact of a loyal friend is immeasurable. There's this quote that a lot of us that work with kids know from this author named Josh Shipp, and he says, "Every kid is one caring adult away from being a success story." That helps inspire us as we serve our students and kids. But as I was reading our story today of loyalty between David and Jonathan, I couldn't help but think every person is one loyal friend away from being a success story. But when I say loyalty, I'm not just talking about a best friend you've had since you were little or a roommate from college. Loyalty goes beyond that. And what difference might it make in your life if you had a loyal friend like that? Or what if God wants you to be that loyal friend in the life of another person? So today, we're going to explore what it means to be loyal because God is inviting us to that kind of loyalty in our relationships. Let's go to our reading for today. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 through 4, it says this: "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt." So the story right before we get to our passage for today is the story of David versus Goliath, when this young, small shepherd named David slayed this giant from the Philistines that they called Goliath. And as soon as Jonathan witnessed that in battle, David and Jonathan instantly became best friends. Now, we don't know if that was the reason they became best friends, but, you know, that's exactly how I made friends in elementary school. I lived in New York, and I found the strongest person in elementary school, and I was like, "Hey, I would like to be friends with you." And that person ended up protecting me for many years in school. But David and Jonathan's relationship is incredibly tricky. because Jonathan's dad happened to be the king at the time, and his name was Saul. And normally that wouldn't be a problem, but because of David's military success, the Israelites started gravitating towards David. And they began to sing songs that said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Oh, that hurts. Can you imagine thousands of people singing songs about something you're lacking compared to someone else? So Saul began to get fearful of David's political rise because it threatened his own kingship, power, and rule. He was so threatened by David that he attempted to get David killed 11 different times in scripture. And the very person he hated was his son's best friend. But to be honest, Saul's not the only person that should have been threatened by David's political rise. Jonathan was the son of the king, which meant he was the crown prince, the next in line to become king. It wasn't a guarantee, but it would have been completely expected and normal for Jonathan to be the next king of Israel after his dad died. So Jonathan too should have been scared of David's rise because it meant it could threaten his opportunity at the throne. Jonathan should have had people write hit pieces against David in the local paper and bought some TV ad space attacking David's character. But against all conventional thinking, in the midst of all of this, Jonathan decided to even further profess his loyalty to David. Because for Jonathan, friendship and loyalty came before personal gain. So what does loyalty mean? Loyalty is looking after someone else's interest, even if it comes at your own detriment. It means sacrificing something for the sake of someone else's benefit. But this kind of loyalty is not easy. That's why it's so life-changing when you encounter someone that looks after your interest, even if it comes at their own detriment. So what does Jonathan exactly sacrifice for David's success? We learn in our story today that there are two things that Jonathan specifically was willing to sacrifice for the sake of David. The first is something that we briefly mentioned. It's power. We know this is something Jonathan sacrificed because in the passage we just read, it says Jonathan made a covenant with David. Basically, what that means is they made a commitment or a promise to each other. There's something really beautiful and innocent about this image because it makes me think of almost like when you make a promise with your friend in elementary school, like, "Hey, let's pinky swear we're going to be best friends forever." And maybe you make BFFL bracelets or something like that with your friend. But Jonathan did more than just pinky swear his loyalty to David as a friend. The story tells us that Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and belt. Jonathan didn't give his robe to David because David was a little chilly that day. Jonathan gave these things to David symbolically because as the son of a king, his robe, tunic, sword, bow, and belt were royal. He gave and offered David the things that identified him as someone from a royal lineage. He was communicating that he was giving up his royal status to David. Can you imagine what that meant to David? And not only did Jonathan acknowledge this symbolically, he acknowledged it verbally to David as well. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, in David and Jonathan's last meeting together, we read this. "While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father knows this.'" He affirmed David and said, "Don't be afraid. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you." Who says that? No one vies for second place. The Olympics are coming up, and can you imagine if someone went to their competitor before an event and said, "Hey, don't be afraid. You will win gold, and I will win silver." But that's similar to what Jonathan did here. He gave up his power to David, who was this young shepherd that had no business being king. Yet for David's success, he is willing to give up his throne. We live in a political climate where power is everything. Everyone is vying for power, and no one is willing to give it up, even if it means hurting people along the way. Whether it means ruining relationships and integrity for the sake of a promotion, or hurting people so that we could win an argument, or silencing marginalized groups so that we can keep our seat at the table. Can you imagine what it means to be so loyal to someone that you are willing to give up your own right to power for the sake of someone else's success? That is not what we typically see in the world. But this is so important because when we're not searching for power, we're able to start searching for the needs of others. In verse 15, we read that David had learned that Saul was coming after to kill him again. So he was so afraid for his own life. He was most likely in utter despair because it felt like there was no end to his misery. If you read the Psalms, you know how miserable David was during this time. Jonathan, knowing this, we read that he went to David and helped him find his strength in God. Jonathan risked his own well-being to be there for David because his dad at one point actually tried to kill him because his son was being friends with David. But Jonathan, instead of vying for power, he goes to help David find strength in God. And he wasn't trying to say that, here, I'm here to strengthen you. He was there to point him to God and comfort him to say that God is with you. Have you neglected some relationship or friendship or people group because of a desire for personal success? Not that personal success is wrong, but has that distracted us from being loyal and seeing the needs of people around us? Are there people who are going through some stuff in life that you know need to be strengthened, but we've neglected? Maybe not even friends, but just people around you. I heard a story once from someone who said that they were in Costco, and you know, they're typically in a rush, minding their own business, doing their own thing. But one day, they noticed someone who felt like they needed to be told that they were loved. And so kind of out of the Holy Spirit, they went up to this person and just said, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that you are loved and that God loves you. And this person instantly just started breaking down and crying. And the person said, I was literally there thinking to myself at that time, if there was anyone that really loved me, or cared for me. You see, when we're not searching for power and for personal gain, we're able to search for the needs of others. The second thing that Jonathan sacrificed for David was honor. So Jonathan had an opportunity to be in the history books, for people to write about his reign and kingdom. And with kingship, it was not just about receiving power. It was about the honor that you are bestowed when you become king. People begin to revere you. But Jonathan was willing to lay that down as well. In 1 Samuel, after Saul learns that Jonathan has been loyal to David, he says to his son this, Don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? Instead of Jonathan receiving the honor that would come with being king, he instead was taking on shame in his place for being loyal to David. He was taking on shame to his family as well. Growing up in an Asian home where our culture is driven by honor and shame, there's probably nothing that I would want less than to bring shame to my family. But for Jonathan, it was worth it to lose honor, to take on shame for the sake of a friendship. And man, it is hard to sacrifice being honored. Because the reality is that we face so much pressure from the world every day to be someone that is honored. We're asked, what have you made of yourself? Who are you? Have you done anything important lately? Especially for young people, the internet kind of reinforces that narrative over and over again. It tells us that to be anything in this world, we need to be known. We need to be somebody. And during the pandemic, I actually went through this exact same crisis. I had just turned 30 this past year, and I remember sitting one day during the pandemic and thinking to myself, John, what have you done with your life? You're 30 years old, and what have you to show for it? You have other people around your age that are incredibly successful. There are other pastors around your age who have planted churches and others who are missionaries. And so I remember feeling so worthless. I wanted to do something and feel accomplished, to be honored. So I actually started looking up books on how to write screenplays because I was like, well, if I make a movie or a TV show, then people will start taking me seriously. There's so much pressure to be someone that is honored and revered that it's hard to think about sacrificing an opportunity at that for the sake of someone else. Think about the ways we put people down so we can feel better about ourselves. Or how we only do things that receive recognition. Or how we try to avoid shame so much that we actually lie about our shortcomings to friends and family members. But for Jonathan, loyalty exceeds a personal desire for power and honor. So doesn't it make you wonder why Jonathan would be so loyal to David? Like, why? Jonathan willingly giving up his rightful power and honor for the sake of friendship and loyalty to David was unheard of. The second he became king, he would have had unmatched power and honor. But as one author puts it, the reason Jonathan did it was this. It was a recognition of David's worth for which Jonathan was willing to give his all, even his right to the throne. Jonathan wasn't loyal to David so that he could get loyalty in return. He was loyal to David because he recognized David's worth as a person. Jonathan was willing to give up his right to be honored because he recognized David's value as a person of God. He didn't let honor get in his way of the relationship. Verse 5 also tells us he loved him as himself. He didn't love himself more than he loved David. He loved David as he loved himself. He knew David's worth and value as a person made in the image of God. And so when we're not searching for honor, we're able to see and search for people's worth. But I want to clarify here before we go further that when we talk about loyalty, I don't mean blind loyalty. It's not a loyalty that just says, I will do whatever that person tells me to do, no matter what. We know from church history through many problematic leaders that we shouldn't even be doing that. We shouldn't even be loyal to church leaders in that kind of way. This is also not a call to be loyal to destructive partners, friends, or relationships. That is not what David and Jonathan teach us. In fact, Jonathan went against his own dad, the king, the person he should have been most loyal to, several times because he knew that his dad was acting irrationally by trying to kill David. So this is not the kind of loyalty we're talking about here. But I wonder if some of us have a fear of loyalty. And that makes sense because being loyal is extremely vulnerable and exposing. Have you ever had a time where you responded really quickly to a friend's text message and then they took hours to respond to yours? So the next time they text you, you intentionally wait a few hours longer. It's because it's a vulnerable feeling, feeling like you care more about that person than the person cares about you. It's the question of, what if I'm loyal to that person, but that person isn't loyal to me? Or maybe some of us have given loyalty and have been disappointed, or had our loyalty taken advantage of. You've been loyal to so many people, but none of them are loyal to you. And so you're sitting here saying, I've been a loyal friend, but who cares about me? And I wonder if we transfer some of those same thoughts onto our relationship with Jesus. What if I'm loyal to Jesus, but he won't reciprocate my love, time, and attention? Or maybe you're here, sitting here saying, I've been loyal to Jesus, but I feel like it's just led to disappointment and unanswered prayers. So we keep Jesus at an arm's distance. We're here, but we're not really committed. So we say, I'll come to church, but I don't want to be involved. I'll attend a Bible study, but I don't want him to actually live in my heart. I don't want to open my heart to him. But the reason God is calling us to loyalty in our relationships is because God himself, in his very essence, loyal. The kind of loyalty that we see from Jonathan and David's friendship is just a glimpse of the kind of loyalty that God has shown us throughout Scripture. Jesus is the friend who sacrificed his own power and honor to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have relationship with him. He is the friend who strengthens us when we're afraid. He is the friend that reminds us of our worth and value in him. He is the loyal one. And he isn't loyal to his promises because we were loyal to him. He was loyal to his promises despite our disloyalty to him. And the beauty of God is that he isn't just some high and mighty figure in heaven that demands loyalty out of us. In fact, one of the ways that our relationship with God is described in Scripture is as a friend. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God." He calls us friend. One of my favorite hymns in the world says this, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." This verse is my favorite. "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our very weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Yes, some friends may disappoint us, but God, he never will. He is someone that even though he knows our weakness, he still calls us friend. So friends, I encourage you to come to Jesus with whatever it is that you are dealing with. Come to him in prayer and worship because he is the loyal friend. And for those of us who might be sitting here thinking, I've been loyal to Jesus, but I feel like it's led to disappointment and unanswered prayers, I want to say this. Earlier, I said that every person is one loyal friend away from being a success story. It's true in David's life. His life is completely transformed by Jonathan's loyalty. And David eventually does become the king of Israel. But David's story is not a success story because he became king. His story is a success story because through Jonathan, David was able to realize his value and his worth and the calling of God. So maybe while you were looking for changes externally, he's already been doing something beautiful internally. That is why God is calling us to loyalty in our own relationships, to help reaffirm someone's value and worth in God. Have you ever had someone like Jonathan in your life, where they helped you recognize your value and worth, where they stuck with you, where they sacrifice something so that you would know how valuable you are? Sometimes we don't even know it in the moment, but those are the kinds of people in our lives that we remember forever. So how do we become Jonathan in our relationships? People who are loyal, willing to sacrifice something, even if it comes at our own detriment. People who want others to succeed and flourish. The first is this. We need to identify the areas of our heart that keep us from loyalty to others and to God. What keeps you from being loyal? What is something that you don't want to give up for the sake of someone else? We all have something in our lives. Is it power? Is it honor? Is it time? Is it energy? Is it our selfishness? Is it the fear of being hurt or disappointed? What is it for you? What keeps you from being loyal in relationships? What are some things that keep you from being loyal to God? Because identifying those things is the first step of being a Jonathan to someone else. The second thing is this. Seize opportunities to be a Jonathan. Where are opportunities around you to be a Jonathan to someone? Where we can sacrifice things for the sake of someone else's benefit. Last week, our Kidstown programming opened back up, and I saw an amazing group of volunteers sacrificing their time and energy to wake up at 8 in the morning so that they could show their love and serve our children and our parents. They saw and seized an opportunity to be a Jonathan. Are there people that come to mind right now that you may have neglected? Maybe it's an old friend or family member. Maybe it's just someone that's around you that you need to open your eyes to. Are there places where you can let go of power and honor to help someone else? Who can you help see their value and worth? I'm going to give us some time now before we close to answer some of those questions and reflect during our time here before we close our message for today. So we're going to put up two questions on the screen, and I'll give us a minute to think and reflect and to pray. The first question is this. What are the things that keep you from loyalty in your relationship with others and with God? Be honest with yourself and try to identify some of those things. And the second is this. Where are the places where God is calling you to be a Jonathan to someone else? Who or what is God calling you to be loyal to so that they could be successful? Is God calling you to serve in a ministry this year? Are there certain names or relationships that come to mind where you want them to know their value and worth? And maybe for some of you guys, you just want to sit here and reflect on the loyalty of God to you. So reflect on these questions and I'll come to close. Who are the people that you just thought of? Maybe send them a quick text message, or give them a call after the service, or maybe register to serve or volunteer somewhere. And it might be frustrating because we might not see a difference in our loyalty at the moment, but God might use that as a foundation for a later time. So don't be discouraged. There was a time in my life where my dad's stepmom had been paralyzed from the neck down. She had been living in Korea, but my dad didn't want her to be alone, so we brought her here to America to live with us. So my step-grandma lived with us in our living room on a hospital bed for a few years. And because my dad worked, it was the responsibility of my mom to take care of her. But my step-grandma had a little bit of a grumpy demeanor, and so she wasn't particularly fond of my mom. But my mom, for years, every single day, would have to feed her, change her diaper, bathe her, and take care of her, even though she was pretty difficult towards my mom. Without saying a word of thanks, my mom, without complaining, without ever having a single day of break, would serve my grandma with a kind of loyalty that really didn't make sense. A few years later, my grandma was eventually really sick and she was on her deathbed. And in her final moments of her life, she turns to my mom and she says, "Thank you. There was really no one like you." And then she actually turns to the other people that were in the room and she says, hey guys, look, this is my daughter-in-law. Look how beautiful she is. There's no one like her. Years of loyalty that finally broke through into her heart. Friends, every person is one loyal friend away from being a success story. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have shown us and exemplified to us what it means to be loyal. I ask that we would be able to see your loyalty to your promises, that we would be able to reflect on that and to be filled with love and to know how we are valued and how much you love us, God. And I pray that you would take that and transform it so that we would be able to be loyal to people around us and to love them and to care for them, to sacrifice for them so that they would know how much they are valued and how much you love them, God. And so would you allow for us to receive that kind of heart in you? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.